Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the joint ROP Working Group and Matrix Subcommittee call on Monday, 27th of August 2012. On the call today, we have Sarah Longdon-All, Alan Greenberg, Holly Rice, Darlene Thompson, Yao Viatohun, Cynthia Suknanan, Olivier Crépin-Leblom, Carlton Samuels, Devin Antelixinis, and Sandra Hoffersteel. On the Spanish channel, we have Sergio Salinas Portes and Eduardo Diaz. We have apologies for Maureen Hilliard, Alessandro Pisanti, and Tijani Benjamin. Our interpreters today are Veronica and David. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sigurd Vivanko, Natasha Gianni, and myself, Naki Peregrin. I'd like to remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes and equally to mute their PC speakers. Thank you very much, and over to you, Cheryl.
Thank you, Natalie. I've noticed a couple of extra people have arrived, now they will continue to attract the people who come in, we will also ensure that the participants is properly updated. I believe Eduardo said he was in the English channel, and I see he's listed as being in the Spanish channel. Of course, he's perfectly welcome to be in the Spanish channel, but I believe at this stage we only have Sergio in the Spanish channel, but I trust at least two other people will be joining Veronica and David in the Spanish channel with Sergio very shortly. Okay. Okay, Holly, we've just noted that it was your line that was causing the echo. I will ask everyone, if at all possible, to mute their speakers and indeed mute their phone, if they're using the phone, when you're not speaking, please. We do have Spanish interpretation. It's difficult enough for the interpreters to manage some of us, particularly when we speak a little too fast. But with an echo, it becomes all nigh impossible. So, Holly, you've got your own ability to unmute the star 7, and as you will be the very first of the drafting teams to give us an update, and I think we should call this show and tell today, which is something we certainly need to do from time to time. I will remind you to unmute with the star 7 when I hand over to you. What we're doing today is bringing back together the threads that have been running off in their own direction for a short while in the different drafting teams and, of course, the metrics subcommittee. What we'll be doing at first is having a very brief couple of minutes update from each of the drafting teams. I think we have I haven't seen Yurio arrive yet. I believe we should have someone who holds the pen from each of the drafting teams in this meeting today, because we haven't had apologies from all of them. And if not, we will manage somehow by fair means or foul. What we will do after we have a quick review of where people are and what they're up to, is also look to whether or not we can agree that a very rough template that I put together, which is little more than a header for what needs to be in each of the sections for the new rules of procedure, can be put together so that as things come to consensus, the text can be dropped across into a master document. We'll have a look at that, and then what we'll also do is do a bit of planning between now and Toronto, which is our drop-dead date for substantive new rules of procedure to be put together and to go to the ALAC. When we're looking at the template, I've just done a rough through. The template will each of the pen holders, in fact everyone will have access to edit it, but I would expect each of the template pen holders to go in and shift order around and make additions as their group so desires. And I will tell you now, I am pretty sure that I have not got the order correct in some of the sections. I literally just did a brain dump on a few things, and I would also think that the sections are far from complete. But things that I have remembered from the drafting team meetings as already having been brought up as agenda items, I did try and capture. Okay, with that said, what we have on your screen, I think it's... can someone test that you all have the ability to scroll yourselves? Is it... scroll yourself or...
We do.
Excellent, that's the main thing. If you... don't ignore the top part, particularly if you're a pen holder, but they're the standard notes on style, etc., that are in each of the sandboxes. If you scroll down now with what is envisaged, we would ask Holly now if you star 7, and I notice we've got both Sylvia and Natalia in the Spanish channel, so welcome to both of you as well. Over to you, Holly, for a review on what the definition and structures drafting team has done. Star 7 to unmute, Holly.
You can hear me now.
Yes, we can.
Excellent. Okay. What I did was I looked at, Cheryl, your outline, but thought that I would... Well, we do two things in our group. One is definitions. We've done a lot of work on definitions, but I think we have to call a halt to it because at the last meeting we said what we really need to do is go through the document after this agreement on some general rules and so forth and see what needs defining and what's not. So I'm not calling the definitions final by any means at all.
Sure.
So instructions, in terms of structure, what I've suggested, and it's on the wiki, it starts with my general principles on drafting because I think when I looked at the rules, I think they say much too much in terms of repeating themselves. Mm. So I'm picking up, first of all, Maureen and Renalia and Alan's plea that we'll start with very plain, simple English and say as much as is needed but no more, that the process, I think, to make life easy for all of us is to start with some agreed principles, draft rules, and then the definitions at the end. I think we need simple rules, and then I'll go through what I think, and this is just proposed, there may be different ways of organizing it. Cheryl has organized it differently in terms of teams, and that works very well too. But I thought in terms of structure of the rules, we start, first of all, with an introduction, and Rinaldi's point was we need some kind of paragraph that is something we can put in to all of our documents to say this is who we are, but an introduction that starts with a bit of background, a bit of who we are.
We're sorry. All circuits are busy now. Will you please try your call again later? PUALA21.
Hello. Okay.
Okay.
We're still here. Good.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
I take it this call is continuing and that someone in the wonderful world of staff will sort that out.
Right. I think in reading the rules, a lot of them have bits and pieces about the mission and purpose of ACAN and the obligation of ACAN members to represent their organizations, to represent users at large. I think we don't need all that in the rules. We need that up front and then only state the bits and pieces that are particularly relevant to a section that aren't covered by that. So that's still part of the introduction. I think we need relationship to the ROLOs as part of the introduction and then also in the introduction, what is ICANN, and then say ICANN bylaws take precedence over everything. I think that all works as part of an introduction. We don't have to say that anywhere else. My next suggestion then is just to have something about the ELAC itself, its composition, the qualification of its members, the selection, election, all those
I'm
issues of its members.
But leave me a message and I'll get back to you.
At the tone, please record.
Oh, great. I think in there we have the requirements, the minimum participation, those sorts of metrics that are in 21 might go up with that ALAC thing, and the code of conduct, which seems to be an add-on, but I think that should be part of a general description of ALAC itself and then the role and function. Then the executive committee, and Alan's done a lot of work, so it's basically just drawing together a lot of what Alan said and then agreeing, well, a lot of it's agreeing. A section on
sure,
liaisons.
Alan, I'll be pleased to hear that.
Well, I thought he's done the work for us. Why should we do it? Liaisons, again, there's a fair bit of stuff that's been done, but pull that together so that there's a description of, you know, the what the liaisons are, their qualifications, how they're selected, and actually what they do. Another section for subcommittees and then working groups. I think, I don't know if we put in there that we may actually co-opt people to do things, but maybe that's the place for that. And then a longer section on the procedures, and that's where you put things like ordinary, you know, what's the quorum of the meeting, the role of the chair, quorum, those sorts of things. Really, Robert's Rules of Order, the shortened version, which Alan mentioned, would sit in there. And then the final sections would be the selection of a board member. I can't think where that sits comfortably in anything else, but we have to put that there. At the end, you put the adoption and amendment of procedures so that, in fact, we have a process for if we need to change the procedures, we know how to do it. If we need to amend, we know how to do it. And then at the end, we have, I don't know whether to call it definition or glossary, probably a combination where we've got simply what does an acronym mean and a link, and then defined terms and things like that. The two contentious things, or not two things we'll have to do, is work through what consensus means, and there's been a lot of discussion, so that will be something I think that's for our drafting team to say, these are the alternatives for consensus. What do people want? We suggest X. There's also a statement of interest. We need to flesh that out, and Alan had a form of words that I think works, but we need to confirm that. So that's where we're up to.
Okay. I saw Alan with his hand up first, but I also saw, I thought Carlton put his hand up, and then it disappeared. So, Carlton, just before I go to Alan, and it's Cheryl here for the transcript record and for the interpretation, do you want to speak also, Carlton, or is that a...
No, I'll pass right now, Cheryl, thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, over to you, Alan.
Thank you. Several things. In most documents of this sort, when one comes up with a capitalized term, a defined term, they're defined in line, but that is then echoed within the definition section. Is that the
okay
style that we're going to be using here?
Alan, we haven't decided. I'm open to suggestions. I would think if we have defined a term in the rules, then we just provide a link or say as defined in paragraph X, 1, Z, or whatever.
I find having the definitions in one place so when the term is used later and you don't remember the definition, as often is the case, you can simply flip to the definitions and see it, not have to do multiple links. But what I was really asking is, do we want to just define them in the definition section, or do we want to define them in line also? And my preference is in line also, but I just want confirmation of that.
There seems to be, Alan, if I can just stop you at that point,
sure.
Cheryl, for the record, a lot of chat coming across just on that. So what I might do, Alan, is ask, we need to tie a lot of this down today. So this will be a somewhat interrupted call because we want to put things to whole group agreement wherever possible. So let's sort this definition and how we do them or not.
Just to be, Cheryl, it's Alan. Just to be clear with the comments, Darlene said she agrees with me, just define them in, don't bother in line. That was not what I was saying. I was saying the opposite.
No, I think what we need to do is have a proper conversation just on this, because it is an important part of the structure.
Okay, I have several other items, but we can do this one first, if you like.
Yeah, let's do them in turn. And also, what that will also do is throw our agenda out a little bit. I'm happy to do that, because what Holly has reviewed is across many of the drafting team's roles. So I think what we probably should do is just fill the definitions, see what your other points are, Alan, and then probably go through the other drafting teams, because I think coming back to the DTST's work, we probably should overlap that with the whole of document approach as well.
Yep.
So we might revisit some of what Holly said. Okay. So let's go now how we're going to deal with the strict definitions, remembering that we will have the need for an appended, and an echo is really bad.
I can't hear you anymore.
Can we stop that line? Thanks. I see that Heidi's working frantically with the team at the DGO to sort that out.
Good.
Thank you, Natalie. Well done. Okay, I think the echo has gone, so it's just Cheryl and only in mono as opposed to multiple. And more than one of me is probably more than anything should manage, let alone a drafting team or a work group. So in single voice now, we will now go to the first point Alan raised, which is about definitions and et cetera. Olivier's becoming a difficulty, but he'll catch up. He's good at catching up, even when his technology is challenging. And at the moment, it seems to be very challenging. We even had a moment where his answering machine was talking to us, I felt, earlier in the call. A given will be that there will be a glossary as an appendix. We will also make good use of only in that glossary defining terms which are specific to our need in the document and linking to the online looking up of acronyms. There's an ICANN acronym buster, which is a searchable database on acronyms, and that's constantly kept up to its most current form. So when ICANN invents a new acronym, which I think happens every hour or so, the acronym is put in to that system. So we would be silly to try and maintain a system which is already being maintained elsewhere in the world of ICANN. So we'll link to that, and we will use in our glossary those terms which are used in our own rules. I think that's a good way of doing it. So really the debate comes down to, do we also, as has happened in the chat, and we'll open for a speaker line on this in a second, so if you want to start putting your hands up, please do so.
My hand's up.
That we have the question of, do we, as Alan is proposing, also define in line, and then it's also referred to in the glossary, but we only define in line the once, the first time it's used. We've also got an alternative, which I'll put up for your consideration, that at the beginning, as is sometimes a contract practice, a few key definitions can, of course, go in a preamble, which I'm sure all of the lawyers amongst us will be familiar and comfortable with. So we've got a couple of ways of doing it. Let's look at how we do it, because it does affect our form and style. Okay, so Alan is suggesting first in line, first instance is defined in line, and we're talking here defined terms which are traditionally capitalised words, and a list of both those words and all relevant acronyms which are used in our text also appear as an appendix. So So, who has something to say on all of that?
I do, Alan.
Go ahead, Alan. I'm almost tempted to put up a poll, but perhaps you'll be able to shake out the majority view.
Okay. I would object strongly if we have neither inline definitions nor the definitions at the front of the document for the capitalized terms. I believe that someone who's reading this document with a moderate sense of memory should be able to read it without having to flip the definition sections. The definitions, whether they're at the front or the back, are useful when you find a capitalized term in the middle of the document and you don't recall exactly what it meant. So I think a definition section somewhere is essential, but I would really prefer to define them in line. It's a long enough document that I think that makes some sense. And moreover, definitions are often going to be local to the section that they're working with. And therefore, someone who's using the rules as in a reference mode, that is, they're homing into a particular part, if there is something that is local to that section, that it be defined right there, I think makes it more readable. And moreover, we can always pull out the definitions if we find it's unwieldy in a later draft. Going back and putting them in is a hellish thing to do, having done that before.
Okay, so, Alan, well, you see a great big green tick up from me, but I now have Eduardo and then Sala. Go ahead, Eduardo.
Yes, the question, I'm not sure what inline definition means, but it definitely, you know, I will recommend to have, like Alan said, an area where all the definitions are. If someone can explain what inline definition means, it will help me understand the conversation. Thank you.
Cheryl, I can or you can?
Go ahead, Alan. Yes.
Yeah. Inline is the first time the word is used, it is defined, you know, either in brackets or in some, depending on what the style is. So the first time a capitalized term, in our case members might be a capitalized term, or liaison, or vice chair, you know, whatever. The first time it is used in the document, it is defined within the text. And afterwards, when it's used, you only use the capitalized term, presuming that someone either remembers or can look it up somewhere.
Okay, thank you. Is that clear enough, Eduardo, or did you want to now you understand that, ask a question?
I want to ask a question. But the definition is the definition of the abbreviations, not the long definition of what it means, right?
It's typically the definition of an abbreviation or the definition of a capitalized term. Member is a good example. It's a word that in English has meaning, but in the context of our rules of procedure, we've defined member, capitalized M, as one of the 15 people on the ALAC. And that's what I mean by the definition. It would also apply if we were coming up with acronyms or something like that, then it would similarly be defining what the acronym means.
Okay, to finish my intervention, then I like the idea of you know, the first time that it appears, to define it there, and then have a definition area somewhere. Because sometimes you find this and you forget what it is, and then you just go to the definition. Thank you.
Thank you, Eduardo. Sala is next, and just before we go to Sala, I think we need to be also aware, this is Sheriff the Transcript Record, by the way, aware of another small slit in the tree, and I'm very comfortable with Alan's proposal here. I do hope we agree to this, which we will try to in a moment, after Sala and then whoever else wants to raise their hand, depending on what she says. But we have some things which are what I would call primary or main definitions, such as what is the ALAC? That's, you know, something Holly is suggesting is defined in a preamble. But it would also be something that the first time it is written would be the At-Large Advisory Committee, ALAC in brackets. So that's where Alan's talking about. And opportunity for an inline definition. We also have just word definitions. For example, the first time that the terminology for standing subcommittee or ad hoc committee or working group or drafting team are used in the document, if indeed they are used in the document, but they may be, we would write them in full wording, and they would be things that would be capitalised, and they would belong first time defined in line, and the primary glossary would also have those as well. But we will come back after Sala speaks to Alan again, but also to decide whether or not we also have some terms which may be extremely important definitions pulled out separately in the first section as well. Over to you, Sala. Star 7 to unmute, Sala.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Sala, for the record, good morning. Excellent. We've reviewed the existing definitions, and based on the previous call, what we had in mind is to receive any new definitions and new terms, which will be an ongoing process, but to inform other pen holders that we will be receiving these new terms. And because we have a deadline, we would like to essentially have a cut-off date in which new definitions are to be coming in. My second comment in relation to definitions in the definition section and inline, my first inclination would be to keep all the definitions within the definition section, but on very rare occasion to insert them inline, because we would like to keep the document as efficient as possible. Also recognizing the possibilities of, yes, using endnotes or footnotes, you know. And because it's a working document, we have a lot of time to play with it and to see how it looks and how it feels. My third comment is in relation to Alan's, the concepts that Alan posted in relation to the previous call, where he had identified him along with Maureen, identified a few key concepts. I think that documents being circulated through the mailing list, essentially things like precedence of rules, observers, absentee voting, down to working group guidelines and that sort of thing. So those things we're making a note of, and essentially they're additional, you know, we'd like to keep it as simple as possible, and if they're the terms that people would like to add, then they can feel free to use the wiki. We'll put a dedicated spot for new definitions to come in and that sort of thing. But that's just a brief update. Thanks, Cheryl. Over
Thank
to you.
You, Sala. Cheryl, for the record, I'll go back to you in a moment, Alan. We do need to remember, of course, that the written form for us is something that would be downloaded and printed from as a PDF, from downloaded as a PDF and printed from our wiki spaces. So do try and think web when we're thinking form here. Over to you, Alan.
I didn't really need an additional comment. In relation to what you just last said, we do have to be careful that something which works well on the web, like either a hyperlink or hovering over something and the definition pops up, doesn't work well when that document is then printed. So we need to think in both modes. I'm not quite sure how you do it. I suspect this technology, I know this technology, where what you see on the web is not necessarily what you get when you print it. The format can be different, and we may need to think about something like that. In terms of Sala's comment, I guess rebuttal, in that although we want a short, concise document, we want a readable document. And that's the reason I was pushing for defined terms. Now, I'm not saying, you know, the three-paragraph definition of an ALAC member of all the qualities we want in the person, but the fact that member means one of the 15 people or something like that, kind of definition, I think it's important to put in line. So that was my only comment. My hand was up, not to get in this sequence, but to go back to me at the end.
That's all right. I know you have a standing point in the queue. You're only stepping aside.
Do you prefer I put my hand down now and so that you...
No, you can leave it up if you want.
It's
not a problem. Sala, I do see your hand is maintaining up. If you wish to respond, or can I go to Centra now? Okay. Centra, over to you.
Thank you so much, Cheryl. With regard to this discussion on definitions, I do believe that the definitions should fall within that specific section defined for definitions, but where a definition is only to be used within a particular section, then it should be defined locally. So the definition section should have global definition for where that term is used throughout the document, but where a term is just used in a particular clause, then it's okay just to define it in line. That's my feeling. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cintra. And what I'm going to do now is the Sheriff of the Transcript Record, of course. I'd like to just see that we do all have a general agreement on this point. We had Rudy also mention in the chat that what we're struggling to use as technical terminology is footnote alikes. And what I might do is ask probably Matt, it'll be a staff AI, if we can come back and distribute to all the drafting teams, but particularly make sure it's obvious as a piece of advice on the template page how we are going to be dealing with the technology, whether we're doing it in two forms or using the footnote alikes. But let's see where we are up to. What I have heard, oops, I see Holly's hand up. I'll just do what I've heard and what I've heard so far and then go to you, Holly, if you don't mind, is that we will be doing a approach where all definitions have, all primary definitions have a repository within the definition part one section, be it in preamble or a cutout. I'm not so fussed there, but it's where they will primarily live. They are the lean definitions, such as ALAC means, the At-Large Advisory Committee of the ICANN, blah, blah, blah. And that we will also have an appendix which will pick up not only the defined terms in our document, but will also be a reference for any acronyms we use elsewhere, which will also be defined within those sections that are relevant. They're what I'd call secondary. Acronyms will tend to be secondary definitions. And that we will be using inline alternating to footnote, depending on what works best with the technology. If it works on the web, that we can have a hover and definition come up, then the analogous would be the footnote alike. In other words, on a printed form, it would be a footnote. So if you hover over a footnote numeration number one on the web, it'll be a pop-up. If you have that same page printed, you would have a traditional footnote. But staff will get back to us on how that magic will be happening and work with the ALAC and the ICANN wiki and web spaces. Madam, now, before I just call for a quick polling on this, let's just see what Holly needs to say on this, and then we'll ask if there's any dissenters from that. Go ahead, Holly.
I'm just picking up on what some people have said in the chat. A lot of people would like it in one place. I think there's value in having every term that's used, that is defined, in one place in the definition, but I think Alan has it right. You simply say ALAC is, you know, it's defined by 15 members or whatever, a very short phrase, and then possibly a reference to where the discussion is, and that would satisfy the need for having, you've got a one place for a definition, but maybe a reference to a lot further discussion if people want to make that leap.
Yeah, okay. I think that fits with the sentiment I'm hearing, Holly, for certain. As Cheryl, for the record, again, we're about to go via a poll back to you, Alan, but it was not a Freudian slip when I typed into the chat that readability id the main driver at all times. It should be readability is the main driver at all times. And yes, we'll look at the style sheets, etc. Alan, you might want to have a small chat with staff, perhaps if AI from the staff goes via the pen holders before it goes out to the rest of us, that might be a good thing. So Olivier, myself, and the pen holders do a quick email run around on what the style sheets or mechanisms are going to be for our templating. Just before we publish, which will happen sometime in the next week or 10 days. Thank you. Okay, so if anyone disagrees with what seems to be the sentiment of how we are going to approach the wonderful world of definitions, which in my experience is almost as time-consuming as getting the colours and the logo organised for an organisation usually, so you've done very well for the amount of time we spend on today's call to get at least this far. If you dissent from what is in the transcript record now, a way forward, make your thoughts known now. And if you don't make your thoughts known now, then we have a consensus position, and this is how we will proceed. I'm seeing no dissent, which is something I rather like. I'm hearing no dissent, which is something I rather like. So we are agreed. Done. Sold. Heidi, I think Holly was also, it was fairly clear that Holly was happy to, with the drafting team that she and Sala and Natalia are running, I think they're happy to have links to the bylaws, the ICANN bylaws,
yep.
Rather than necessarily reiterate them. So when you're looking at the action item there, probably think along those lines.
Yep.
So it would be a link into what are existing sets of master documents rather than to repeat them. We don't want the world's longest set of rules either. Okay. Alan, over to you again. Alan, surely you're not muted.
No, I'm not. Okay, Al, I may have been. The second item, I think, does not need much discussion because I wrote it in my list of speaking items before Holly finished, and she covered it by the end. The comment was, in the outline that's on the screen right now, there's a whole big part saying this section should also outline at least, and then it goes on to talk about the minimum qualities and minimum specifications and qualities we expect of various people. I have no problem with this working group being responsible for putting those in an understandable form, but my understanding was that the specifications for that is coming out of the duties working group.
Yes.
I think Holly confirmed that, but... That was just what I wanted to make. So if that yep came from Holly, then we don't need to talk about it further.
Phew.
Okay. My last item is a very small one, and it's a personal one. Holly made reference to the fact that we need to put the code of conduct in somewhere. I find the current code of conduct inappropriate, I guess, is the most genteel term. It's talking about things which are all indubitably true, but I don't believe they belong in our rules of conduct, procedure. Don't send spam. Don't violate the privacy of others. Don't stalk people. Don't harass people. These are all things which perhaps need to be said somewhere, and maybe we want a... how to be nice to people you're working with section somewhere in our documentation, but I don't believe it fits in the rules of conduct. I find it demeaning.
Thank you, Alan. And if I may, share off the record, pop in my own personal hey, yes, please, even though I was one of the people who put it in the existing rules. It was much more required then. With a new format, and with a format that isn't tied to the ghastliness of the UNGA terminologies, we can also, in that same style system as we have decided for our definitions throughout our document, also make good use of putting in a fixed link to the rules which go to a dynamic document such as a code of conduct or a behaviour on lists documentation. So if behaviour on lists changes, your rules do not need to. It will also be, you know, the link stays static but the dynamics is easy to handle. So we certainly need a whole lot of things that are, I would call, ancillary or adjunct documentation. And what we will have to do is make a note, as any of those links are formed, or a need for any of those links are formed in the rules, we need to make a note so that staff and all current and future staff are aware that the link in our document doesn't change. So a master page in the wiki will need to be attached to any of those links, and there has to be whatever system they use, great big, you know, skull and crossbones on it somewhere that says don't go changing the name of this page, otherwise our hyperlink will end up broken.
Well, Cheryl, that last point is well taken, but in the general case, you have to assume that 5 years from now, any link will not work, and therefore we want to make sure that we're preserving documents, if only for history, that are usable in the future. So overuse of hyperlinks, I think, ends up destroying that concept.
Well,
if I may share one more thing in
that.
Regard to the rule of the code of conduct, I once read that, and this is supposed to be humorous, but is not, that a policy is something that is written to address a one-time occurrence which is not mentioned in the policy. The code of conduct was written to fix some people who were clearly did not know how to play properly. And I understand that, and there will be, again, some people who don't know how to play properly, but we don't need to change the rules to do that. We need some private counseling and perhaps a general set of rules. And if I remember correctly, ICANN and the Ombudsman published a similar set of rules to address a similar problem of someone misbehaving. Let's assume we're grown-ups and address this issue where we're not on a one-by-one case.
Thanks, Alan. And in fact, what we can do, and we do elsewhere in our other work, we have formally adopted, ALAC has formally adopted the expectation to operate under those Ombudsman's rules. We can just, you know, refer to them. But coming back to your point on hyperlinks, if you link to a page in our wiki, recognising that, as you were saying, in 5 years' time we may not be using wikis anyway.
Or not that wiki.
What is on that page, as you'll see the way that staff have been doing documents, is a image of a externally linked printable form document. So you can scroll through it on the page, but it's a document that is archivable and fixed in place, space and time, for the want of a better word. So we don't have the business of web pages changing and documentation being lost. There is a digital equivalent to a hard copy, which doesn't get lost, so we should be able to avoid the disasters that happened historically. Terrific. What I'd like to do now, if we're all agreed on that, and I believe we are, and we'll be having a whole lot more of those external links come together, and what I might do is ask each of the drafting team where you feel the need to either have a document created or to link to an external document, that you put that at the moment in perhaps just the comments section, unless Matt creates a page for us right now to make sure we capture it on the template page so that we don't miss any of them when we're putting the whole thing together. And yes, Natalia, exactly. These things like code of conduct documentation are required, but they don't need to be text in the rules. They need to be referred to in the rules of procedure, as you say, and then the external document, which people are indeed bound to, as you state, would be it's an expectation that you follow them. But if those documents change, then the expectations on the members of the ALAC or later on any other people who do rules in similar lines would be the same as well. So that's important. Let's move on now to our next team. So Matt, if you could bring up the sandbox for duties and metrics. And Alan, is it you or who's going to?
Sure, Cheryl, no problem.
Neither of us have prepared. It's me and Eduardo. I can start for a couple of minutes. I don't think we have an awful lot to say, and Eduardo
okay,
can fill in what I missed.
Or vice versa. You two can do a tag team as you so desire. I'll hand over to you first, Alan. And Matt, if you can switch out the screen, please.
All right.
Thank you, Heidi, for the link. Those of you who can link, please do so until Matt makes the... Tyler's point on work plans, the DTST has gone on and done a work plan. We'll cover that off at the section of the agenda which looks at our work between now and Toronto. I'm unaware that any other drafting team has felt the need or inclination to do a work plan in the same way as the DSDT has, but we'll refer to that and how it may or may not be synchronised with when we get to that section. Okay, over to you, Alan.
All right, thank you. What we've been doing, certainly in the last meeting, if you may remember that roundabout somewhere in Prague, I sent out an analysis of what rules were in the current procedure about duties, prerequisites, and obligations of the various members, ALAC members, liaisons, officers, and so on and so forth. That document had a very large number of questions in it, that is, things that I didn't feel it was appropriate for me to either decide on or I simply didn't have a clue which way we should go. And at the last meeting, we started going through that document. We made it about halfway through. It was, as these meetings go, exceedingly productive. The intent is to continue with that and hopefully finish it this meeting, at which point we will have a good draft of all of the obligations, expectations, and things like that on the various people. The part we haven't done yet and will be the difficult part is to try to then figure out which of those we can put metrics on and what those metrics should be exactly. But I think we're making good headway, better than I actually had hoped, so I'm happy with where we are.
Good. Excellent.
Eduardo,
any points?
No, I'll uncover the whole thing. You just need to keep working and thank you.
Okay, that's terrific. Just before I open the question, I note with some concern that the the sandbox that you've put up, Matt, doesn't even have a link to the document that Alan was referring to. And so it would be good to not only have that link in that space, but also a link across to the outcomes from the meeting, which, as Alan quite rightly reported to us, has gone through a fair whack of that as well. Matt, if you ask Alan to send you those documents one more time, I don't know whether he will virtually hit you, but I will.
I will not send them to anyone. That sandbox was created today. I didn't know it was going to be there. And the page that presumably links to it, that is the work group working page or the design team working page or whatever we are, has all of the links on it and all of the stuff on it. So
yeah.
I take no responsibility for a new page being created that has no links
that,
on it.
I was not asking you to take the name off, so I was asking Matt to take the name off. But the sandboxes are there for all the drafting teams. There seem to be so many interesting and inventive ways of doing things. We thought it was good if we at least had a repository for them.
Well,
may
I suggest that since we haven't had a sandbox until an hour ago or something like that, what the document, the page that we've been using is the design team, the drafting team page. So if we want to have a thing called a sandbox, maybe we need to move everything over, including all the comments.
What I was asking Matt to
and
do.
I don't know whether that's even possible or not.
That's fine. That magic will happen. We'll beat people up with a brown bootlace later for not bringing the pen holders in on that. And two out of the four drafting teams have been using sandboxes, so it was silly to not have everyone have one. Okay. Any questions for Alan and Eduardo's drafting team? Sala, what do you mean? Our repository is the rules and references section. Go ahead, Sala.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Now we can't.
No, you may have muted and muted again. Try again, Sala.
Hello, Sala.
Yes, go ahead.
Good morning, yeah. Thank you, Alan, for the update. Just a quick mention. You'd be aware that for the DSDT, the rules and references section is some sort of repository. The sandbox is where we actually do our work. But the question I have for the Matrix team would be, and I thank you, Ellen, and Maureen, who's not present, but who sent in her feedback, in terms of the core concepts that you've identified that the DSDT, that the potential areas of overlap. So one of the things I suppose we would be interested in from a DSDT standpoint would be, aside from the concepts, but if you were able to flesh out, I'm not sure whether we were doing meetings or whether you're doing meetings, for instance.
No, we're not.
For example, whether it's and that sort of thing, because those sorts of things are going to affect the definition and the actual structure. And we note and congratulate you on the elaborate work that's done already in terms of the spreadsheet, the metrics spreadsheet, which consolidates comments from the entire metrics team. And that's pretty useful. But for us to complete our task, perhaps aside from identifying concepts which you've done with the and posted on the wiki, but if you could flesh out at least general headers, perhaps, and that would sort of help us tie it in and identify which areas that we should actually touch with now, and noting also that there are things that we may have to park until you complete, and then we'll get back to polishing. Thanks. That was all. Thanks, Cheryl. Yeah.
Thank you. And Alan, Holly did respond in line in the chat as well. Perhaps we could leave a fulsome answer to Sala until we hear from the rest of the drafting teams, because otherwise she'll ask the same question of every one of the other drafting pen holders. But also have a look at the template, because I think the discussion might happen a little bit there. So, Alan, a brief response, if you...
Yeah, very brief. As I was trying to say, but maybe not well enough, the group has worked halfway through the list of responsibilities. I hope the next meeting, which I guess will be next week, will finish that list. A week or so later, we'll have a draft of, in bullet form, the responsibilities and key prerequisites and things like that of all of the you know, the main categories of people. At that point, we still may be adding things to it, because once we have that draft, we're going to look at it and say, is there anything boldly missing. But at the, as soon as we have that, I think we'll also toss that over to the definitions group so they have an idea where we're going. That's certainly my plan.
Yeah.
In terms of meetings is being done by another group.
Yeah. And we'll come back to this if we can. Sorry, I've been making noise on my line. I apologize if that was deafening anyone. What I thought discussed at least briefly at the beginning of the call is that there will be a number of things that each individual drafting team will come up with and will have defined, and that will be the repository will be up in the section that the DSDT is responsible for, but they're not responsible for the creation of those definitions. I think that is the way we were heading. Okay. Any other questions for duties and metrics, where metrics is actually slightly standalone? If not, let's go to meetings. Administrivia. Who's got the pen on that?
I think Maureen and I do. It sounds
pretty well. Nice. Being as Maureen's an apology, over to you, Alan.
I think we have completed the section, the debate on, the equivalent of the repository of rules, Robert's rules, or whatever, and decided that tentatively we will be using Robert's rules, but it will be a reference that we can change to plug in something else if necessary. We have also, I think, generally agreed that given the consensus mode of operation of the ALAC, we very rarely resort to any of the rules that are within Robert's or anybody else's set of rules of procedure, and even rarer do we have to delve into the fine print of them. So our intent, I believe, is to put the generic way that we operate most of the time in the rules of procedures, in the meeting rules, as it were, but reference to other things when necessary. And I think we have consensus, but I'm not sure we've discussed it fully, of do we try to make sure we have rules for everything or give some discretion to the chair when necessary? Clearly there are things in any formal set of rules which we do not follow on a regular basis. I was amazed to find out Robert's rules talk about you must stand before making a motion and things like that. And clearly that's not the mode we operate in. Teleconferences do not fit with those sets of rules very well. So we will be outlining how we're going to work in a general way. We haven't gone through the process of doing that yet, but I think it's going to come out pretty quickly from that process. Not sure what else we have. One of the things that it's not clear where it's decided is the whole concept of proxies and alternates and things like that. There's been a fair amount of discussion in various places. I can live with it being assigned to meetings and administration. I think it also could find a home in definition and structure, as a place to decide, do we want the concept of proxies? Do we want the concept of replacement people? And I think there are some bylaw implications, so we have to be careful with that. But
yeah.
I'm not sure where we should have that discussion, and that's something I think this group needs to verify. It's a crucial discussion we need to have.
It is, and in fact, this is Cheryl for the transcript record now. When you look at the master template I've proposed for you, it does currently sit as a proposal under your drafting team space. Let's talk about that when we get to have a quick look at that.
Sure.
Any other questions for Alan? I see Sala. Go ahead, Sala.
Hello, Sala here. Good morning again. In relation to the concepts like a vote or proxy or that sort of thing, this is the reason why I had raised the meetings.
because it's not until the meetings drafting elaborately dissect the different types of meeting, whether it's an ALEC face-to-face meeting or whether it's a working online working meeting, that sort of thing, the different rules will be at play, like things like setting of the agenda. And so until that happens, we can't really flesh it out. But for now, as Ellen very correctly and raised, there are terms that we can draw from the current Roberts rules, which will, of course, need tweaking and that sort of thing. But that's not to stop us from going forward. But I think the real driver in terms of fleshing out some of the core concepts will be coming out of the meeting administration sandbox. I'm not sure who's actually handling that. Thanks, Cheryl.
Yeah, and just as a follow-on, Cheryl, it's Alan speaking. I said under the duties and metrics drafting team that I was very pleased with the progress. I'm not nearly as pleased with the progress in meetings and administration because we spent what I consider far more time than we should have or was needed on the issue of backup rules of procedure, you know, Roberts or whatever. But we're over that now, and I think we can start moving through the other topics pretty quickly. At least that's my hope.
Yes, thank you.
And we have now have Maureen on. Along with the group, and I think that will force progress at this point.
Yes, it makes a big difference there. Thank you, Alan, and Cheryl Langdon, also the record. The only reason Maureen, of course, isn't standing by Alan's side today at this meeting is that there is a huge meeting of ministerial importance in the Cook Islands for Pacific leaders at the moment, and as a employee of a government instrumentality here, she's kind of busy this week, like 24/7 busy this week. we not only note Maureen's apology, but probably empathise with her that she's juggling a whole lot of very interesting characters and responsibilities in their tiny little island. You can all Google what's going on in the Cook Islands if you're fascinated with that. Finally, we have the part two of the third section, which is elections, selections and appointments. And I am going to continually say appointments, selections and elections, because that's the order in which we should be doing things, just to try and reverse the focus on electoral processes, which are a almost last resort, or ought to be a last resort in a consensus-based organisation. I don't think we have Yurio on the call, do we? No, we don't. And Yavi has only just become a pen holder in this group, but he's also had to leave the call earlier. So, look, Alan, you've done such a wonderful job to date. You're also in that group only as a worker bee, but do you want to give a quick update on where we are there? I've often said you should just write the rules, of course, Alan.
I'm not sure I remember, to be quite honest. I know we have not got to the point where we're actually, you know, starting to come out with a, formal output. So, and I missed the first meeting of that group, so I'm not sure I'm really in a position to tell you where we are. I should remember, but I don't. I will have an editorial comment, though, Cheryl.
Please go ahead.
Well, if you're going to change it to selections, elections, and appointments, and that's a change, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, okay, that's pushing.
Coming up with an acronym, that's therefore a sea change.
Well, Alan,
SEA for those who don't do acronyms well.
Alan, can I just say I'm all for the sea change, and that can be
for those who are not English speakers. Google it; it does have a very specific meaning.
And yes, as a member of that group, I am trying to turn it on its head so that we think first of selection. They're all appointments, so that's sort of a master word. We appoint people. We appoint people to the AMAC. We appoint people as the chair of the AMAC. We will be appointing people to various roles within the AMAC. Some of those things, we also make selections. We might select people in various ways. One of the ways we can select people is an electoral process. And in fact, we would, to answer one of Holly's questions, the selection, and it is a selection, because that's what it says in the bylaw, it is, of the person to occupy seat 15 in the ICANN board, fits in this section as well. Okay, so to that end, we have, I think, gone through all of the quick reports. Metrics is also working. We haven't had a look at the template, so if I could indulge you for just 5 minutes, I would very much like you to at least eyeball the template, and then the pen holders and teams can sift and sort and change and reorder to their heart's content. So if we could pull up the template, the proposed template, please, Matt. And what that means, it'll be in front of you in a moment, Sala, but it's linked to the agenda as a hyperlink to the new workspace that's dedicated to it. We've skipped over metrics. Metrics has been a group that's gone for some time. I think most of you are up to date where they are, and they plug in the actual measurables to link with the expectations that will be with the duties and metrics team. Okay, Matt, are we getting that template up? Okay, basically what this is going to be the place where each of the drafting teams can weave together in some form of rough skeleton whatever text they have come to consensus on in their drafting team. So what we're doing with this template is little more than a proper order of things. It'll also help the teams understand who's actually got which header to be looking at. That doesn't mean that things, for example, that are a definition in a drafting team space don't also belong in how the definitions group is organising things. They do. But it does mean that the question of who's going to be saying what might be a little clearer to everybody. It also should be noted, is it coming up or not? Because I'm not seeing it on my screen.
No, I'm not either.
Well, I'm going to be growing old, leaving and having lunch before this thing loads, which is a little bit silly, seeing as it's only a wiki page.
It's Alan, Cheryl. I just found the link in the agenda, which was not, by the way, on our calendar, so it was hard to find. This page, the template page, seems to be hung off of the DSDT workspace. Not quite sure
why,
but it is.
Well, it shouldn't be, and Matt will fix that, I can assure you. Or hang it off everyone's space, so everyone's space will be linked to it.
Well, maybe it is. That's
what Confluence tells me. It should be standalone. And in fact, what it is where you as pen holders, with the assistance of staff, will be putting any final text. By the time we get to this next joint meeting, which will happen, I think, 7 to 10 days before Toronto, that we have all of your agreed at that point text in this repository. We can pretty it up after that, But it also makes sure that if TEM holders want to change the order of something, they change the order of it in the template as well as in their own workspaces. If they want to add something, they add it to the template as well as in the workspaces. So let's see what Matt's managed to get up. Matt has managed to get up a totally unrelated and irrelevant link. I'm going to give up, scream quietly into the black space of the ether,
I'm going to put the link in
very quickly. Otherwise, we're going to draw this to a close anyway. The link is there. I'd like you
yep.
to thank you, Alan. That's why the link is there. I'd like the pen holders and all of the draft team members to have a thoroughly good look at that, to propose changes in order and additions. There's a few things there where it says the list continues. Well, we need to do that listing. There might be things which as a group you all totally disagree on the order of, that, you know, ALAC mechanisms, committees and work groups should be the first thing in definitions of structure. Well, if you think so, tell the DTST that, and if they agree, then they may agree to shift it. But please do not shift order or add to someone else's team space, but feel free to propose to those teams if you think something is in the wrong order or something is missing. I can guarantee to you that things will be missing. This is just a skeleton that you can now start hanging things off. But if you start looking, we've got basically pretty much what I am aware of DTST is doing. In other words, what is the ALAC, including links to relevant bylaws, what are members and various structures, etc. All of these things need fleshing out. They'll make a definition of what the primary role of the ALAC is, maybe go into some secondary or tertiary roles. They'll define what the ALAC mechanisms are, but not necessarily go into detail, certainly not how they work. They belong in the sections. And obviously there's AX, BX, CX and DX, which is to indicate as many other numbers as you think is relevant in your section. If you have a quick scan through in duties and metrics, I hope I've kind of got things in a sensible order, but definitely that's where I thought things like proxies would be... sorry, not duties and metrics. That's where we should be looking at many of the appointments. While the definitions may define what a liaison is, it's in member duties and metrics that we probably will be going into details on what is some of the external appointments. Moving down to C, which is your meetings and admin, that's where I'm currently suggesting matters of quorum and the role of the chair
yep.
be defined. And instead of C1 and C2, unfortunately I probably was in need of either caffeine or alcohol. I left it as still a C1. It should just be Section C. Staff set it up as Section C1 and C2. I decided to the third part can actually be the third section, and it'll be, so Part 3, Section C1 and D. So why it says C1 and D2 is I changed the C in the second section but forgot to change the numeral. So I'll go in and edit that when we finish this call. Please have a play with it. Make as many changes. Holly's already got into it. Yay, team. Go, girl. And make your comments, but feel free, if it is your own drafting team, to change your section of that template. Okay, and I'm going to leave the pen holders to decide how they are going to make the nexus between their own wiki spaces and comments. What I'm talking about is the template needs to be in sync with whatever goes on in your own space. How that's
yes.
done, I care very little. That it's done, I care a great deal. Alan, over to you for what I hope is final words. And if staff can line up our next date for our meeting, please.
All right, thank you. I have a plea that one of the things that invariably is going to come up is what numbering scheme do we use? I would suggest that each drafting team right now pick something that makes sense for them, and we will do whatever necessary to unify them at the end.
Yep.
It's far easier to make that decision once we see what we're working with than to try to make arbitrary decisions of whether we use, you know, Section C, Section 1, Section Roman numeral 1,
yep,
or it's 1.1.3, 1.5.6, or whatever. There's all sorts of forms. Let's not spend a lot of time debating it, as we are sometimes wont to do.
Sure.
Something that makes sense for each group.
Well,
and
at the moment, we've got three
we'll
parts.
And then we'll unify at the end.
Yes,
necessary.
We've got three parts. They've basically been called ABC. I changed it to ABC and D because I felt like it. But if you've got a different numbering system in your own drafting team, then just put that in brackets or supersede
yeah.
it. But we will be running it in three primary parts with the third part in two sections.
Yeah.
That we have already decided. How that numbering yeah. scheme happens, yes, we can deal with later. The other thing is if you just make sure that if you're not keeping things in sync, at least copy to staff to say at the end of each of your meetings, you know, we need to update the template with this, this, this and this. At least that will keep us in sync, because it will be the template that we are working on in Toronto.
Right.
And it will be the template we will be discussing at what will be the final group of the whole meeting, which will be, as Heidi, thank you very much, has put together on the 17th of September. So between now and the 17th of September, each of the drafting teams need to, in whatever way they want, make sure that when we all look at this template, it's as complete as it can be by then. All right? Sala, if you want to make AO for definitions, Holly, you and Natalia, just do it. As long as it sits under Section A, I don't care.
Okay.
Alan, over to you.
Yeah, one more thought. One of the things that wikis do not do well is allow people to easily look at changes. The wiki has an ability to go back and look at what changed, but it's not nearly as clear as a marked-up Word document, for instance.
Yeah.
So, again, each group is going to have to think about how do they get closure on what they're doing as changes are made. And, you know, as unwiki as it is, Word documents may be the way to go, but there may be other methodology. But think about it, because if you don't make it easy for people, you're not going to get all the people in your team commenting, and you're not going to get the full benefit of all the people unless you make it relatively easy for them to participate.
Absolutely, Alan. But what I need to make really clear is until your drafting team has come to consensus, in other words, it's ready to agree, it's said, this is what we're going to say, it doesn't go into the template.
Correct. That's my understanding.
That's the main rule. But you've got between now and the 17th of September. I look forward to seeing all the changes on the template. Can I make a plea to each and every one of you who are making changes to the wiki pages? And this includes the staff. There is a little tick box at the bottom of a wiki page when you go into edit. It says, and it will be by default ticked, to say notify watchers. Only notify the watchers when a substantive change has happened. I really don't care to get 66 emails on every single line-by-line change that each of you make.
Cheryl,
I
it's Alan.
I watch every single one of your pages.
Yeah.
So leave it ticked if it's substantive.
Yeah. Cheryl, Alan? I agree with that request, but there's something people need to remember. When you get the notifications, if you're watching a page, the email shows what changed. But if you follow Cheryl's advice, that email which you finally get will only show a minor trivial change, which was the final typo you fixed. You actually have to go to the wiki page to see what the content is at that point.
Yep.
So the content of the wiki of the watching emails is not as useful at that point, but it's not as annoying either as getting 60 emails. So
yep.
It's a trade-off.
If you've made a major change, for example, if you've put in a new slab of text, then leave the box ticked. If you've made a minor change, as Alan says, typos or moving from the top section to the bottom, I mean, you should all be able to work out what is a substantive change or not. If it's a substantive change, then leave it ticked and everyone will be notified.
Yeah. Cheryl, the problem with that, if you do it in that order, is people will then immediately go look at your rough text, which has all the typos in it, and you didn't fix yet, and then won't look at the corrections. The alternative is to leave everything ticked until the last one, but there's a downside to that too. So people have to decide how to do
it. However, it's an annoyance. It's not a die in the ditch thing. And re your question for transparency, Sala, you just go to the show changes button on any page, and you can go back from the very first revision to the most recent, so we never lose transparency by not having notifications. But we would, however, have notifications as a request on anything substantive. All right, we're going to meet on the 17th. You've got a lot of drafting team meetings between now and then, and please keep the template, your own space, matched with your space on the template.
Cheryl, one question. Is there any reason why we can't have drafting team meeting every 2 weeks instead of every three?
If you want to have them every third day, that's fine as well.
Okay, thank
but
you.
But that's up to the pen holders and the teams to agree on and the staff facilitate.
Yeah, I'm just not sure there's enough 3 weeks between now and Toronto.
Neither am I anymore. Some of these drafting teams, I think, are learning how to swim. Some of them are waving and some of them are drowning. And we all need to finish the race by Toronto.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, one and all. We now all know what each of us are doing, and we have a place to keep each other informed. Thank you, one and all. Thank you for the work you're all doing, and I know some of you are on all of the teams, and you're all very well aware that it's a huge amount happening. Bye for now.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you all. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.